Yes, it was brief, and none of the governor's vetoes were overridden during this legislative session. In most cases, and there weren't that many bills that were vetoed to override, in most cases I agreed with the governor, but in one case I vehemently disagreed with his veto, and that was on House Committee Bill 3. House Committee Bill is a new kind of bill that was established for a couple of reasons. One, it is sponsored by a committee, so no one individual is responsible for it, which is interesting. House members came up with it because it allowed them to put forward a bill after the date by which bills had to be filed was passed. So that process in and of itself was interesting, but actually it worked out well last session because House Committee Bill 3 was actually both chambers and a bipartisan effort to make sure that the 8,360 Missourians who are seniors with low income or people with disabilities could get the help they needed in their homes, the in-home care they received to live their daily lives. The interesting thing about that bill was where the funding came from. A little bit over $35 million came out of some funds that we have in the state treasury that are unused and untouched. Actually, hundreds of funds that come from all kinds of places, including professional fees and registration fees. And these funds add up to actually over $3 billion just sort of sitting there untouched. People like Representative Lavender and Senator Sylvie and Senator Curl found these funds and said, let's utilize them to make up this $35 million gap so these over 8,000 people can receive the services they need to help them live independently and with dignity in their own homes instead of being forced to be institutionalized in some way or sent to nursing home care, which is also very expensive to the state of Missouri. So the governor, even though this was bipartisan legislation during the end of session last year, and we were all very sort of pleased with ourselves for finding a solution for these people who need a little bit of help. And the governor vetoed that bill, and his veto message talked about the fact that this was only a one-time solution to this problem, and that was not good enough. And so a lot of us who are really puzzled about that veto questioned that and said, well, a few things about that. First of all, this one-time solution gave these people the continuing care that they need in their homes so that for the next year they would be safe while we worked on and came up with a new solution. Also, as you know, our budget is revisited year after year. We come up with a new budget for the next year. So this situation is no different than every other year when nothing is guaranteed for the year going forward except that we will pay our debt. We could have helped these people and bought ourselves the time we needed to look at a long-term solution to funding these needs. So let's talk about some of the people that need this kind of care. These are people who get services to maybe help them get up and out of bed in the morning to go through their day. And then at the end of the day, they need help getting back into bed. Or these are people who need their blood pressure checked regularly to make sure that they stay healthy and out of the hospital, which again, Missourians are going to pay for if they do have to go to the hospital or emergency room. These are people who may need to have their medication checked every day to make sure that they're taking what they're supposed to on a daily basis. These are people who may need to be turned a certain way so a bed sore doesn't ulcerate and cause them to end up in the hospital for some kind of an extended stay. So these are real needs of real Missourians, again, to help them live independently with dignity and just give them the little bit of support they need to do those things. And many of them are working people, so they are productive members of our communities and society, and this is the least expensive and, frankly, the most moral way to take care of these people. So the governor vetoed that bill, and since it originated in the House, the ability to override the governor's veto comes in the House. My colleague, Deb Lavender, Representative Deb Lavender, gave an impassioned speech on the floor and made the motion to override the governor's veto. A lot of people made the case for doing that. Some people opposed it. A vote was taken, and the bill had all the Democrats and a few Republicans who voted to override the governor's veto. I believe out of the 163 representatives, 49 voted to override the governor's veto. So you can tell by that number that it did not pass. A few people left the chamber and did not vote. The majority of people voted not to override the governor's veto. Interestingly, some of those same people who voted not to override the governor's veto voted to support this bill during the legislative session. The only difference is that the governor intervened and said he wanted to veto this bill. and he was willing to, frankly, risk the lives and health of these 8,000-plus Missourians because he believed that a one-year fix was not good enough. So that was disappointing to me. The risk of their health and well-being is attributable to the governor's actions and to the actions of those representatives who voted to sustain his veto during this session. So that bill never even made it over to my chamber, to the Senate chamber. In the Senate chamber, the only thing that we did not choose to override any of the governor's vetoes of Senate bills, several of which I agreed with the governor's veto. What we did do in the Senate chamber, which is unprecedented in Missouri's history, is we voted to censure Senator Maria Chappelle Nadel for her comments on Facebook that she posted. The senator said she hoped the president would be assassinated, which, as you may recall, I was among those who called out immediately and said that is absolutely, I condemn those comments. Absolutely unfitting a senator, certainly unfitting an elected official, but no one should be calling for an assassination or even hoping for an assassination. I'm not defending the senator here, but I will say that she recognized her terrible error immediately, took down the post, began her apologies, called every colleague of hers to apologize, made public her apology, apologized to President Trump, and knew that she had done wrong. And there was quite a bit of activity and call for her expulsion. I knew that I would be more than willing to censure her. I voted to censure her. The call for expulsion was not made because there were not enough votes in the Senate to expel her. And I think that we did the right thing. I think you need to call out people when they, especially elected officials, when there is this egregious and harmful and frankly, perhaps dangerous of a comment. What I found interesting is Representative Warren Love also made a horrific comment through Facebook, which is still posted. He did not take down his post, and it was with regard to a Confederate monument in his district that had been vandalized, and he said that whoever vandalized that monument should be hung from a tall tree by a long rope. So while our African-American female senator was censured, nothing happened in the House to our white Republican representative. And, you know, people have said, well, is this divided by race, divided by chamber? I think that's up to all of us who are out there to decide. I think that the House needs to step up and do the right thing with Representative Love, and if they choose that a censure or a remonstrance is the correct way to handle it, I'm fine with that. But certainly those comments need to be dealt with also. And to just ignore it and turn our backs on something like that when we have gone to the extent we have with Senator Chappelle Nadel is not equal treatment and almost hypocritical on the part of the legislature. We also swore in a new Senate member, Senator Sandy Crawford, who is a former representative. I think she lives in Buffalo, Missouri, and she has taken former Senator, now Lieutenant Governor Parsons' place. So we've welcomed our second female Republican senator to the chamber, and it's always nice to have another female in the chamber. We're certainly in the minority. I think that's pretty much all that has gone on. We ended session after that, and, you know, that's the end of our veto session. Unless we're called into special session, we will see you back here at the beginning of January when our general session, our regular session, begins again. Thank you.